Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful Overbooked. It's Saturday, April the 7th. And as always, if there's news to be told, then I got to bring in the newsman himself, Jeremy Lambert. It's newsworthy. Jeremy, how you doing?
Is that what I am? Like, Reg is the media man. I'm the newsman. Is that what we're doing around here?
I think we could do that. Hashtag newsman.
I don't know if I like that or not. That's fun.
I mean, listen, this week alone, you produced more than you ever do, because that's just what the newsman does, right?
Yeah. A lot of news this past week, and the long week, very long week.
Everyone knows how this goes. 5 news stories on the board. We're trying to keep it brief this week because it's Good Friday and the Easter weekend, so we want everyone to go and enjoy time with their families. So let's just hit it right off the bat. Jeremy Lambert, we got to ask some questions here. Ryan Danielson on if he's ever a vegetable. Short answer, no. Long answer.
Bless RJ City and Brian Danielson, because I ended up just milking this for about 4 articles. And like this is the one that I led with the vegetable, because RJ City asked, hey, tree semen. He directly quoted the, when I eat an apple, I'm essentially eating tree sperm, and talked about that. Brian Danielson has swallowed apple seeds. And then he asked if he f***ed the vegetable, and short answer, no. Long answer, we don't have the time for that. But when Brian Danielson and I start, imagine thinking this podcast ain't the f***ing goat, then I will get the full story of Brian Danielson f***ing a vegetable.
I already have, we're 1.5 minutes in and I have 3 F-bombs to edit out. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. One's my own, so I guess it's on me. Yeah, he was on AEW with Brian Danielson. And this was, like you said, 1 of 4 articles, to the point where people were replying in the threads, if I see that Danielson face, I know exactly what I'm getting.
I mixed it up with the last one where he said a gooey duck might be his favorite species. And so I added a gooey duck to the thumbnail, and it looked like he was smoking a gooey duck, which I don't know if that's something, you know. I don't know what to say on this. I was gonna pull up the photo. I think I have it. I'm gonna pull up this overlay here. So look at me, Joel. I'm gonna save you some editing here by putting this photo on screen with the Danielson gooey. This is my great Photoshop skills as well. This is Brian Danielson gooey duck.
Looks like a giant penis.
Yeah, a giant phallus. And RJ said you should carry that to the ring like you're Jake the Snake. And Danielson's like, yeah, maybe. What a guy. What a guy.
Do you think Danielson could wear it around his neck?
Maybe. I don't know if it fits with his current character, but maybe he could. Sorry, I lost our overlay there.
There we go.
All right.
That's awful. I can't believe we did that.
It's a gooey duck. What's your favorite species, Joel Pearl?
Not that. Not that.
I love Brian Danielson. I love RJ City. I told the story of myself and RJ City exchanging messages on your show, Joel and Kate at 8, last week. And so I won't rehash that. Everyone go watch that show and watch it every Sunday at 8:00. But yeah, RJ City's a great guy, and his interviews are very fun, and Danielson plays into it very perfectly. And this is a great interview. If you haven't seen it, go check it out and just watch all RJ City episodes, because he's hilarious and good headline pops out of this stuff.
It's true. It was a very, very good week for you and AEW content, and the merging of AEW content and Fightful is just, it's just perfect. Shout out to RJ City, who once talked at me for 15 minutes in an interview.
It's a great interview. You didn't say anything. Ruled.
I know. That's what made it great. Hey, yeah. Just go check out my interview with Matt Cardona that just dropped this Friday.
Okay. So now that this is dropped, I can mention when you ask him what his favorite meal is,
On the road. On the road specifically. I said, yes. On the road, what's your favorite meal? Right.
On the road, what's your favorite meal? And he said, Chelsea Creed, which was a huge, huge pop. Cannot confirm or deny if I answer similarly when asked what I would like to eat.
I do want to say this. So I was reading the select notes that Sean put out last night, and he mentions the interview and a couple of the notes from the interview. And kudos to Sean Ross Sapp for not including that specific line in the select notes. He had literally everything else. It's a 3.5 minute interview. It's a nothing burger. It's entertaining because it's Matt Cardona being Matt Cardona for 3.5 minutes. He's cutting promos. It's fine. Don't expect big news out of it. But like, bless Sean for trying to pull literally everything else other than the lead in this article.
It was a great interview. I think I said it before one of these shows we've done together where I praised you for all the interviews that you did, and the Cardona interview was fantastic. So kudos to you, Joel Pearl.
Well, thank you. Let's move on. Story number 4. Vince McMahon says it was the right time to sell WWE. Ari Emanuel wanted Vince to stay on board. So CNBC squawk on the street. I don't know how anyone says that without stumbling over it. They had Vince and Ari post merger and acquisition announcement. And there was a lot coming out of this article. This is one of the things from it. Ari Emanuel including saying that, he wanted Vince specifically, that he wasn't going to let Vince walk away. Let's talk about this whole article. There's plenty to say with Endeavor starting a merger between UFC and WWE.
So this was the big news on Monday morning after a extremely long WrestleMania week. And now I got up Monday. I figured if this was going to hit, it was going to hit at 7 o'clock. It hit at 7 o'clock. And then there was the big announcement, and then it was revealed that, oh, hey, Ari Emanuel and Vince McMahon are going to be on CNBC together. It's like, all right, guess I'll have to watch that. So watch that. The whole interview is like 16, 17 minutes or so with these two. This is just a portion that aired on CNBC. And then there's a separate article where Vince is asked about the allegations and everything, and he basically just says, I've made mistakes. I've owned up to these mistakes, and I moved on. I'm sure he has. They talked about the sale, and the biggest thing that kind of came from this was Ari Emanuel saying, I wanted Vince here. I wasn't going to do this unless Vince was here. Vince being asked about creative, and he's like, oh, I'll do it at the higher level, but I can't get in the weeds, which is what he said 4 years ago when they hired Bischoff and Heyman. And then we saw on Monday he was in the weeds. I've detailed this on the spotlight, Joel. I'm sure you're going to talk more about it on your show with Kate. But man, this is the deal they wanted. This was the deal Vince took because he knew he could control and still maintain a very real sense of power when it came to the company. Ari was on board with it. We've seen how these people act, these two act specifically. And we'll see what happens moving forward. But I guess good on them for doing this interview where they could not have to own up to too much. But they said a lot of quiet parts out loud in this one. They confirmed a lot of things that fans may or may not have been wondering.
You want to get into the weeds sometime, Jeremy Lambert?
We can get into the weeds.
All right, we'll get into the weeds. We'll get there. Don't worry. Stand by, friends. We'll get into the weeds sometime. Yeah, this deal's happening. The end of the year, it'll most likely be confirmed and done and finished. It's part of the reason why Triple H couldn't specifically mention it on Monday's Raw, because it's a deal in principle. You can't come out and be like, we're ready to merge with the UFC. No, it's all conversational until the documents are signed. So I get it. And of course, last night Triple H came out and was just like, it's with a heavy heart that I have to give up my job here at WWE because I love my family and my dad is taking over. No, we record on Fridays. Sorry, folks. We don't know what the deal is, but
no, that promo from Triple H last night on SmackDown. Were we watching the same show?
Clearly not. And I did the review, so clearly I was way off base.
He came out there and he was like, you know what we're actually going to do? We're bringing back Shane and we're bringing back Stephanie. And he went backstage and he punched Vince McMahon in the face. He just straight up hit him. And he's like, this ain't happening. You are not taking this company over. As I said, we are not going over anywhere. We are WWE. And then Vince just crumpled right there on the floor. It was amazing.
Yeah. And then the crowd all chanted, fire Vince, fire Vince. And then they started a fire in the ring. It was a literal fire of Vince. And then you had this is the best part. You know how in the top corner of the screen, it usually says like hashtag SmackDown or hashtag WrestleMania, whatever it is, whatever the social is. Suddenly it just switched to hashtag fire Vince. Someone in the truck clearly was on the side of Vince, of Shane, Stephanie, and Triple H, and not Vince McMahon. So
it was amazing. Everybody should go back and watch SmackDown from last night just for that segment alone. Yeah. It was just fantastic cinema, as the kids like to call it, the cinema.
Do you think it was worthy of an Emmy?
I'll let you know after I see Super Mario in about half an hour from now.
What would you have given that promo out of 10?
4 out of 10.
Wow. Well,
I know you were looking for a different answer. I wasn't going to feed into that. So I went Bret Hart pop instead of Booker T pop.
That's fine. Booker T gave Carmelo Hayes versus Bron Breakker from NXT Stand and Deliver a 6 out of 10. Of course, Booker T loves to get a pop once in a while from his headlines, and he's, you know, given his 6 out of 10 score. Talk to me about this on his Hall of Fame podcast. Booker T had plenty to say about Melo and Bron's match.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear. I listened to this to see if Booker commented, largely just on WrestleMania weekend in general, commented on the sale. He joked that he heard about the sale. And he's like, I already asked for a raise. And I'm thinking, buddy, that typically ain't how sales work. You would think, but that typically ain't how this stuff works, buddy. But it was interesting to hear his comments on Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes, because you know, he's the commentator. He fully admits that he gives advice to the NXT people that when they ask, or maybe if they don't ask, he's just the veteran who's going to give advice. And he's like, you know what? A 6 out of 10. I don't think they really stuck the dismount, as he said, to use a gymnastic term on this. So I thought it was an honest answer from Booker T in a time where Booker T is, you know, he likes to just say things, yes, to get a pop. And people are like, oh, he's just pulling the WWE wagon and everything like that. I thought this was an honest answer, because he could have easily been like, this was a great main event, Bron Breakker, all of his improvements, Carmelo Hayes proving he was him. Like, this reminded me of takeovers of old with this main event, and just, you know, one of the best matches of the weekend. He's like, you know what? No, 6 out of 10. And I don't disagree with Booker T.
So what's interesting to me, and we've talked about this on other shows, including this one, about Booker T and the Hall of Fame podcast, is my feeling when they brought him onto NXT programming was they wanted someone pissing outside the tent instead of pissing in when it came to criticism of the talent. Because for a while, he was on a warpath of a tear, talking about all the talent in NXT and just shitting all over them. And then suddenly, who's the new color commentator on NXT TV with Vic Joseph every Tuesday night? And I was like, oh, that's a strategic marker, because he did commentary 10 years ago on Raw, and it was not great. And now it's not any better. But at least when he says, like, I gave it a 6 out of 10, he was there. He trains wrestlers now. So, like, at least he has something reliable to say, and something, like, you know, it's in his wheelhouse, and it doesn't just sound like he's shitting on something because he just wants to shit on it for a pop. So I understand.
I thought it was a fair rating of the match, and I honestly fully expected him to just be like, greatest match of all time, like one of the best main events of all time and everything. And now he gave a fair response. Like, look, if you thought the match was better, great. If you thought the match was worse, fine. Like, I think 6 out of 10, I watched the match, watched a lot of wrestling this past week. 6 out of 10, kind of fair for that match. It was fine. Was it the most memorable match ever?
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, it was just a fine match between two guys who I like, but I'm not sure they do a good job in that style. I'll say that. And he was fair with his criticism of Bron Breakker, I thought, too, of like, you know, he's probably better off as a heel, and I like that he's going to be a heel now, because he's probably going to learn a little bit more here. So I thought this was very fair criticism from Booker T for a guy who typically swings one way or the other of like, he's overly critical of stuff he probably shouldn't be. And then he overly praises and defends stuff that he probably shouldn't. I thought this was, for a rare time, Booker T was really fair in what he had to say.
And on top of that, let's face it, he was reviewing a main event on a card that had at least two other very strong multi-person matches that got the crowd happy and, you know, which just was a generally good time. So I'm not going to fight it. I think 6 out of 10, if that's his feeling, he's not wrong in it. So we'll move on from there and talk about Saraya reflecting on her AEW debut promo, saying she wishes she didn't say finally a boss that listens. That was one of the lines she gave. She's talking to Busted Open Radio, our good pals over there, unless they're on Impact on Thursday nights. But otherwise, their show is great, Busted Open Radio. And yeah, she had plenty to say to David LaGreca and the gang over there. Talk to me about Saraya's first promo and her time on Busted Open Radio.
Busted Open had back-to-back bangers, as the kids like to say, using a lot of kid terms here. Back-to-back banger of interviews. They had Britt Baker and then Saraya on the same day. I believe it was Wednesday. And both interviews were really good. I thought Mickie James was trying to stir up some shit with Britt Baker, not David LaGreca. I will defend you, David LaGreca. I thought that was Mickie trying to stir the pot when it came to Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. As far as Saraya goes, long interview, good interview with her. She's talked about the debut promo before and how she was nervous. She didn't fully like it and everything. But this was the first time where she had kind of mentioned that, and I didn't headline with this because I wanted to be fair to everything. And I thought there was a bigger point to this promo or to this interview talking about the promo than the easy headline of Saraya says she was told to say, finally, I have a boss that listens to me line. That is what got picked up, what got a lot of traction, what got a lot of discourse going and everything. But there was a bigger point to her comments on the promo. And that's why I didn't just go with the more catchy headline for people who think that I'm unfair and clickbait everything. I thought it was a good answer from Saraya. And yes, she did make the point of, hey, I was kind of told to say this sentence and I kind of regret saying this sentence because WWE has been nothing but gracious to me. And she said that many, many times. As someone who's listened to a ton of Saraya interviews and covered a lot of them, she said many times that she enjoyed her time in WWE. They always respected her. She wishes she could have done more. Like, that was a complaint she had of like, she wanted to do something, but like, she knows she would not be in this position without WWE. And it seemed like on and off, Vince would listen to her. She's always said good things about Triple H and everything. So I can see why she did regret that line. Obviously the big discourse is, did Tony Khan tell her to say that line? And then we go from there with what Tony may or may not have told her to say.
Was there a different headline you could have ran with? I'm not saying this one's bad. I'm just curious from this particular set of transcription and conversation.
Yeah, I thought about running with she wondered if it was a mistake to come back after this promo. I thought that was a big line in there as well. And that was going to be my initial headline is when she mentioned that, because I thought that was a pretty big deal. But then she said the line of like, I regret this line. And so I wanted people, because I knew the line of like, I got told to say this, I knew that would really stick out. I wanted to make sure I referenced the boss who doesn't listen to me line in the headline. And again, I could have gone like, Saraya says she was told to say this line. And in hindsight, maybe I should have. Maybe that would have gained more traction, gained more engagement. I will say I don't need to do as much. I still do the headline pops and everything. I don't need to do that as much now because we have Kyler's done a great job of what a lot of engagement counts do, right? Is we only have 100 characters for a headline. So now what engagement accounts do who don't have to worry about headlines is like, hey, let's take a piece of the transcription, put that in the tweet, link to the article and everything. So you have more characters to work with in that. And so we did that with this article and that got a lot of traction too. So it kind of worked in a twofold way of, I didn't need to put that in the headline because we were able to still get a tweet just more out of the entire article for everything.
I like it. Jeremy's news tips, and I'll add the thing afterwards. This is good. This is what we do here. Once in a while, we got to give a little something for our news writers or the people who are looking for us to pull back the curtain a little bit, as it were, when it comes to the news cycle and the writing cycle and all that stuff. This is good. So let's move on. Let's do our final news article for the week. Cody Rhodes reflects on WrestleMania 29 match being cut and Donald Trump asking him to move. He spoke to Ariel Helwani from BT Sport, did Cody Rhodes, as he led up to WrestleMania 39 and being in the main event. So 10 years ago, he was basically pushed off the card and pushed out of the way by Donald Trump. So talk to me about this whole thing with Cody and Ariel.
Man, in hindsight, this was a sad article. Cody obviously did a lot of media leading up to WrestleMania. Ariel Helwani did a lot of interviews leading up to WrestleMania. Get a lot of just coverage to do leading up to WrestleMania. And a lot of the media Cody did, obviously talking about WrestleMania, this match, the return, Dusty, blah, 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 a lot similar stuff and whatnot. Helwani gets a little bit deeper with a lot of his interviews, which I appreciate. I think he does a very good job. And in this case, he asked about 29. Yes, we were a decade later coming back, WrestleMania 39. Hey, 10 years ago, your match got cut when you were going to team with the NWA World Champion or face the NWA World Champion. You're teaming with the Bellas against Tyrus and the Funkadactyls and whoever else was involved in this match. It was Sandow and I think Ted DiBiase were also involved in this match. Regardless, it got cut and it was like covered on Total Divas and everything. And then Cody realized, oh, it seemed like it was a bit to just get cut on Total Divas and like, hey, look how they're mistreated and everything. But he, you know, Vince is saying, oh, it's cut. And everyone's like, oh, okay, we get it. Cody's like, no, I want to punch him in the face. Cody just really wants a backstage fight. Anybody like Seth Rollins, Vince McMahon, he doesn't care. I wonder if he fought Roman after WrestleMania 39. And he talked about like, oh yeah, I went to just kind of like go be by myself. And then all of a sudden 50 dudes come by and they kick me out of the way. And it's Donald Trump who got indicted like the same day this interview came out, or at least the same week this interview came out. So now he talked about that. And I thought, you know, this was recorded. This was posted before WrestleMania 39. I thought, oh, cool. How like fitting this is, how poetic this is that Cody Rhodes has overcome the adversity 10 years later of his match being cut. And now tonight he's going to win the championship and end the run of Roman Reigns. This is great. This is great for Cody Rhodes. This is just, again, poetry. Wrestling is a love story, Joel Pearl. And then, yes. No. Cody Rhodes, I guess he sat in the ring and a rubber chicken kicked him out of the way instead of Donald Trump, which, you know, one and the same, I guess.
That's true. Yeah. 10 years ago, he was sitting under the stage at Mania all pissed off. And Donald Trump and his posse he's like, I had to shimmy my legs to the side so Donald Trump and his posse could walk by me. And then this past year, WrestleMania, he's got a shimmy his ass to the side because a rubber chicken hit him in the back and he doesn't want to be pictured with it. Poor Cody.
It's unfortunate. You know, I ain't got much more to say on that. Everyone go watch the spotlight where Steven Jensen is fantastic this week. It's fantastic every week, but especially when he is really able to get emotional when it comes to Cody Rhodes and his attachment and to the American Nightmare. But man, I really thought I hit on something with this article. And like, it's a good story regardless. Like it's still a good story reflection, but man, I ran that the day of WrestleMania and I'm thinking like people are going to wake up. They're going to see this and they're going to be like, oh shit. 10 years ago, Cody, this happened to him tonight. That he's going to do it 10 years later. He's going to win the title in the main event. And then hours later, nope, it was the same. Not the same, but similar story for old Cody. Is an old man told him it ain't happening, pal, and then a chicken knocked him out of the way.
You plug the spotlight, may as well finish off the plugs, Jeremy. Let's get out of here.
Don't follow me on Twitter. Follow Steven Jensen on Twitter at @FightTalk_. He is always doing great work, but especially this week, he's had a rough week. Everyone be nice to Steven Jensen. He's had a very rough week.
When he tweeted about having to cancel a tattoo appointment of all things, that was the moment where I was like, oh, that poor son.
That, I mean, look, that saved him from himself, honestly. He doesn't need to be getting this. But this is, I tweeted this, and I'll say it here on the show. I don't care if WWE is going to ruin their awful storylines. I don't care if they're going to break the hearts of millions of children. I don't care if Cody Rhodes didn't win the title. You start messing with my friend's feelings, Steven Jensen's feelings. Don't like that. You start messing with bits on our show when this man was going to show up with dyed blonde hair and a tattoo and was going to do a video called Cody in the vein of Stan. That's when I get mad, because this would have been amazing, like amazing content that we lost out on. Also, Roman Reigns can be the one in 1,000.
That's the t-shirt.
Awesome.
We the 1,000s.
Yeah, it's terrible. Can't stand it. I'm very mad that they broke Steven Jensen's heart, and I'm even more mad that they ruined great content that we were going to produce had Cody Rhodes won like he should have.
It's very upsetting. Do we have anything else we need to plug here? Fightful Overbooked.
I don't know. Yeah, Fightful Overbooked. A lot of stuff on the channel now. A lot of stuff coming to the channel, I hope. So just check out all the stuff we have going on. Joel, if you want to do a better job plugging stuff, please do. Like, Fightful Overbooked, everybody.
Yeah. Fightful Overbooked. We drop content every single day. Not just this show, but Kate and I do a show. You got Haley, who came back with Kylie to do Tag Talk. It's good to see them back together as a formidable tag team themselves. You got Rob and Maggie doing coexisting every Friday. You got Righteous Reg and Mike Indeed. Indeed. Because I know him as Mike from Indeed. And I was like, is he calling the show Indeed? Anyway. Yeah, Reg and Mike do Indeed. That is Wednesdays at 6 p.m. if I'm not mistaken. And what else is going on? There's content every single day. Just go.
Bread Club with Matt and Kieran every other week, covering New Japan.
Yeah, love it. Perfect. And then as for me, I do the Run Sheet with LJ every single Wednesday. We drop that usually around 5 p.m. Eastern, so go check that out. That's unaffiliated from all this, so go to your podcast platforms and go search The Run Sheet, or follow us on Twitter at The Run Sheet Pod. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, enjoy your Easter weekend or your Passover weekend, whatever you're doing. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.